Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Nightlight. Step away from the mainstream and gather around as we enlighten the world around us and travel this cosmic journey we call life. Join us as we share with you and provide that beacon that can guide us all to a better way.
Well, I don't know what happened to Barb, but you got Jen and me right here. This ought to be a little bit interesting.
Okay, well,
no, it's very interesting. I was doing a great job of the intro, but I didn't have my mic on. So hi, everybody, and welcome. I was cruising right along. I didn't realize the microphone was.
You were making great time getting there. Okay, I'm going to hush and let you talk to Jen now.
Okay. Hi, Jen. How is it? How are you doing?
I'm good. I was trying to phone you because it said on the thing you weren't here, and I'm thinking, oh, where's Barb?
No, I'm here. I was doing the intro. I was blazing through it. Matter of fact, I was doing a great job. But I guess we need no introduction today.
No.
It is. It's so strange. And you know something? I say it every time the seasons start to change and every time things start to kind of, you know, shift from one aspect to another. But I'll tell you, I have never seen the seasons or the weather be as strange as they have been in the last year. It just boggles my mind, and every time, you know, I do believe that we are, you know, at least in the East, we are becoming a more temperate zone, and it's just our gardens don't know what to do, and you know, all of us that have over the years planted vegetables and stuff like that, and we know the routine, and we know what to harvest when and everything, all that shot to hell. You can't tell what to plant when. So I threw in my hoe and said, okay, I'm making them berry patches and I'll go to the fresh fruit stands for my vegetables. Not even going to try anymore. So is it that way where you are too?
Well, we didn't plant much this year. We've got really poor soil where I live. We're on a hard rock, probably it's called the hardest rock on the island or in BC. So even trying to plant anything is extremely difficult. We have to make our own soil. The blackberries grow profusely because it loves the gravel. Trying to plant any kind of veggies and that. We do some containers. And this year I didn't get around to it. I love gardens, fresh veggies and fruit. And so I've been very fortunate in that. My friends have given me these big heads of lettuce. And when I say big, it's enough lettuce to feed us for a week, and that's just one big leaf lettuce. And it's
wow.
like, oh, my goodness. I know. And, you know, just fresh dill. Oh, I just love it. The smell of it is just incredible. And, you know, rapini and the greens from the garden are wonderful. But this year I tried to do my beans because I like the green beans, the bush beans. Didn't take for some reason. And I know the squirrels and the robins dug them up, and that's okay. But didn't get to it this year. So like you, I'm going to be purchasing a lot at the farmers markets and supporting the local farmers.
Well, you know, I think that you get to a point where I had three solid years where I literally got the starter sets. I got everything in. I nurtured it. I fertilized it. I took care of it. And you know, at the end of the summer, my peppers still didn't have any peppers on them. My tomato plants were disgusting. My beans, nothing. So after the third year, it was like, no, I'm not doing this anymore. I'll do berry patches. And I'll make,
and how
you know,
are your...
Actually, the plants themselves, I have some raspberries that have been in for 3 years, and they're amazing. No raspberries, but the plants are doing great. And I have another, I have three raspberry beds, one's 3 years old, one's 2 years old, and one is new this year, so that by next year I should really be rolling in raspberries. And my blueberries, I don't really like them that much anyhow, but I planted them anyhow. So, you know, we'll just see. Maybe I didn't water them enough, but we had rain like crazy here, so... You know, I don't know. I'm going to have to do some reading on those. But but my flower garden looks like a jungle. So at least the flowers are doing well, but they always do well. But like you, my property is on a gravel pit. So for the first, 4 or 5 years here, I was making soil. I was pulling in peat moss, the sweet peat, which is peat moss and manure, and I made soil. It took me a good 5 or 6 years to actually get it to the point where, you know, things were growing. But now they just don't stop growing. It's amazing. I have one plant that a neighbor gave me that she said it was a bush, and she used the flowers for making potpourri and things like that. And I said, how big does it get? And she showed me, and it didn't seem big at all. So I put it in my garden. Well, the thing is, it was kind of like, did you ever see Little Shop of Horrors? You know how that plant grew?
Yes, yes.
That's what I have. It ate my garden, and I finally dug it up and tried to move it. And every year since then, I dig up another big plant because I didn't get all of the root system. It just likes my garden so much it won't leave. And it's huge. And you can't eat it. The flowers, you know, they use for good smell. But aside from that, nope. So it's probably going to be there forever. But, you know, it's kind of like... Okay, I give up. You want to stay that bad, go ahead. Just don't get too big. But no, it's been, I keep looking at the trees here, Jen, have started to turn. And it's August.
Already?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, are you experiencing like a drought or anything there?
No, it's almost tropical here. We get rain. We haven't had a drought in I don't know how many years. And you know, we get probably, we get 2 days out of every seven that there's a downpour. And then at
wow.
least one is, you know, it's really, it's very, it's mildewy. It's so wet. And happily, knock on wood, Barbara, we haven't had any, you know, 100-degree days, and last year we had a number of them. So it's been pleasant. It's been very humid, and I hate the humidity, but I'm ready for fall. I can't tell you how excited I am that fall is coming, and it means that I don't have to do the outside work now. I can really spend the time working on the research and the stuff that I want to, you know, work on for the website and stuff like that. So I'm really very excited about that.
Oh, see, I'm just enjoying this. I can't get enough of the sun. I can't get enough of the heat. There hasn't been rain here in quite a while. We're at extreme for weather or for fire hazards. You know, there's no forest fires. There is forest fires. There's no campfires. There's a campfire ban. There's, backyard burning. There's none of that. There's no... you're not allowed to have that here unless you're in what they deem the fog zone, and that is in the Haida Gwaii area, which would be the Queen Charlotte Islands, which gets a lot of heavy fog, or right on the west coast where it's like a rain belt. But even that is very tinder dry. So,
wow.
We are really experiencing a lot of rain, or rain heat. And I don't know where the rain came from. We're getting some, but I doubt it. I really doubt it. It's supposed to be sunny for the next week or more, and we've had lots of sun. It was at 9 o'clock last night, it was something like 29 degrees Celsius here, which is very, very hot. But... I enjoy it. I can't get enough of it. To me, that's what I love. So.
Well, I don't either. We've had very hard winters here, and this has been a very pleasant summer. Actually, it's just been very humid, and I have trouble breathing in the very humid weather. So. You know, it has been restrictive in that way for me. And it's just, it is beautiful weather. It really is. It's just that I have other stuff I want to do. And you know, it's almost like, I don't want, you know, can you wait? Can you put this off till I get the stuff I'm doing under control? And then I can go out and enjoy it. But
it is a catch-22, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. You know, it's been crazy time. But have you noticed that people who I don't want to say people who call for readings because I don't want people to hang up. But have you noticed that people are experiencing the awakening that's happening in unusual ways?
Say that again.
You know, people are, you know, there is a spiritual awakening that's going on. You know, people are becoming more and more aware of you know, their responsibilities to their own lives and that they do have control and that, you know, they've just become more and more awakened to the spiritual nature of their environment.
Yes.
And I'm finding, especially the people that come for private readings, that they're reacting very strangely to it. And I would think it would be exciting. You know, it is to me, but I have people that are absolutely fearful that you know, they have to take control of their lives and they have to make the choices and that they can't look for someone else to do it because it's their responsibility, and they don't like that.
I think fearful is a very good word, and it's a well-chosen word, actually. Because we're taught with fear, aren't we? From the time we're little. You know, that's, if you do this, this is going to happen. If you do that, that's going to happen. And we're taught by fear instead of how I believe or perceive we could be taught by. Go out and experience this. See how this happens. I've got this, you know, I've got wonderful nieces and nephews. I'm very, very blessed in that. I've got one niece who she will try pretty much anything. And she has said, even if I don't like it, even if I am afraid of it, I'm going to experience it because I have to know. I probably won't like it. but unless I try it, I am not going to be able to speak to it.
Uh-huh.
And I really admire that. I can see her headset in all of this that goes on.
Uh-huh.
And I absolutely love that about her, that she knows and trusts in herself enough that it just doesn't matter. You know, that takes me back to that Meatballs movie where, you know, Bill Murray jumps around going, it just doesn't matter, it just doesn't matter. And, you know, I taught my kids that it just doesn't matter. And she
mm-hmm.
embraces that. It just doesn't matter. Let's go and experience that, because it just doesn't matter to someone else. It does matter to her, and she will gain from it.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, there could be fear, there could be apprehension, but you know, unless you can grasp it, then it's pretty cool.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I really admire that. So,
it sounds like she's sort of wise beyond her years, too.
She is. She's 25, I believe. Very wise beyond her years. But, you know, I just sort of laugh because she just is.
Well, that's a
great
good way to be.
And she loves cats. She loves cats.
Oh.
What can I say?
Well,
there you go, Barbara. She's
my
a cat
kind
person.
Of girl.
Yeah.
Well, cat people are unusual. There's no doubt about it. I was reading up on the Spiritual Development Circle is going to go into past lives Thursday and Friday. And I was putting the material together for the group. And I came upon something that was so fascinating. I knew it, but I had to be reminded of it. And are you aware of how when the Dalai Lama passes away, they actually find the next Dalai Lama?
Yes.
The story of how they found and selected, their theory is, and you know, I can't argue the point because the facts are just too profoundly impactful, that the spirit of the Dalai Lama reincarnates immediately, and they go all throughout the land searching for his reincarnation, and when the last Dalai Lama died, some of the major, I don't know what they, the in the hierarchy, one of them went for a vision, got a vision, and knew then the area that they were supposed to be searching for his reincarnation, and he got a vision of the house. And he and I believe three of his three other priests masqueraded as tea merchants and whatever, and they went to visit this house, and they went in and they asked, it's very common apparently there for strangers to come to the door and ask to have tea, and so that's exactly what they did. And when they were invited in to have tea, this 2.5-year-old boy knew them, knew their names, knew what temples they came from, and one of them had a rosary that he was holding, and the young boy said, that's mine. And so they did a lot more testing of him. He was able to pick out things that had belonged to the old Dalai Lama, and came back, I think when he was 4, he and his family were moved to the principal site for the Dalai Lama, and it's the most amazing thing, because, you know, I believe in reincarnation. It's just that you never see it quite that obviously put in front of you, and it was just amazing, the wisdom and the knowledge and the insight that this man has. And when they brought him into the chambers where he would be living, you know, he pointed to a box on the table. He said, "That's where my teeth are," and it was where the dentures for the old Dalai Lama were. I mean, they hadn't cleared it out. They didn't know what it was. So I'm finding that doing the research and pulling the material together for these circles is a very exciting thing for me. I'm you know, adding to my own internal library, so to speak, and it's very exciting. It's a good way to grow.
That is so cool. Yeah, no, I've heard that story and I've read it, and I find it absolutely fascinating, and it's something that I do believe in. I totally believe in it. I have no idea. I know. I can remember talking to this woman. Her name was Linda, is Linda. And I said, you know, I know there's something greater out there. How I know that, don't ask me. I just know. It is my absolute faith. It is my absolute belief that there is something greater out there. And we got into a discussion about it. And I couldn't tell her how I knew. It's just that I know. And she said, I wish I had that kind of faith that you do. I said, like, I can't explain it any more than that. But there is something greater out there, period. And, you know, it's just a deep, deep knowing. You know, hard to explain to people that have not experienced it.
Well, Patrick used to ask me all the time, how do you know that? And I would look at him and say, you know, I can't tell you. I just know it. And it's absolute. There is no question. This is what I know. And, you know, it is very hard to explain to other people. It's sort of you trust in what comes from inside of yourself, because that's where it comes from. So there has to be great validity to it. Now, it doesn't have to be everybody's philosophy, but you know, I know it's very true for me. And I think that's the cool thing about us and the times that we live in, that everybody has their own theories and philosophies, and they're absolutely true for them. And it's so cool to share philosophies with people. And I forget who I was talking to, but they had a very different opinion as to whatever the topic was, and she kept saying to me, well, what do you think of that? And I would say to her, well, it's an interesting theory. I mean, my theory is my truth for right now. I, you know, can't relate to your truth, but that's okay because it's yours and it's not mine. So, but it's interesting. And she said, well, don't you want to try to convince me? And I said, no, I, you know, you believe what you believe in and I believe what I believe in. And you know, it's just fine. It's perfect. That's the way it's supposed to be. So, you know, it's kind of, it's an exciting time. I'm finding that people are coming out of the woodworks and asking great questions, just fabulous questions. And you know, when they ask the questions that are insightful and stretch you and, you know, make you reach into parts of yourself to find answers and insights for them, it is just such an exciting time to be in the field we're in. A friend of mine was here today, and she had just come back from Salem, and of course they had the witch trials there. Not a, you know, that was not a good time to be in Salem back then. But happily,
no, we I was just watching a program on it, and it was, to me, it was very frightening watching the program, knowing what I had experienced before, knowing what we do now, you know, my husband looked at me and he goes, well, you'd have been burnt again or hung again, wouldn't you? And we both start laughing. It's not a good thing, you know. It carries on through generations and lives, and it's hard. It's difficult. Funny, you know, my daughter went for a walk with us up the mountain. As you know, we go through this mountain walk every day. And we brought our daughter yesterday. She was bold enough or kind enough or whatever enough to come on the walk with us and got these huge blisters on her poor feet. Anyhow, I said to her, you know, do you want to have the camera? And she said, no. She said, I don't like anything around my neck, Mom. She said, I cannot stand anything around my neck. And I looked at her, she looked at me, and we both started laughing. And I said, oh, I didn't know that, because I'd given her a couple of necklaces. And she does wear a necklace now and then, but not often. And I don't wear a necklace. I, you know, if I have a camera around my neck, then I'm very, very conscious of how I hold it and away from any sensation of constriction. Just know it's not a good feeling.
Well, I mean, have you figured out why?
Oh yeah, I've been hung before.
Yeah. I suspect you also lost your head once. So.
Oh, probably. Yeah, I don't like knives. Oh, big knives. You know those big butcher knives?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do not like those. Ew.
Yeah.
Don't like knives.
Yeah. It is. It is, you know, often when those things happen, it does mean that there was a past life trauma of some sort. And you know, it just, if when you figure out what it is, it makes it easier to understand. It doesn't always diminish the dislike or discomfort, but it gives you a better idea as to where the fear comes from. And I was telling Chris last night, I'm afraid to get my face wet. I know I drowned in a couple of lifetimes, and I am terrified of getting my face wet. I'm 70 years old, and I really don't like my face. I mean, I wash my face, certainly, but you know, if I'm in the shower or the bathtub or if I go swimming or whatever, My head sticks right out of the ground, out of the water, because I will not put my face in that water.
You know, that's funny. My brother was the same way. Did not like his, wouldn't put his head underwater. Would not. And my mom, who nearly drowned when she was a kid, would not put her head underwater. And it's funny because it's so true.
It impacts you. It does impact you.
It does. It's the experience, yeah. And it, I believe, as you do, obviously, it carries on with you throughout the different lives that we have, whether we want to acknowledge that or not.
No, I firmly believe that most, not all, but most phobias that we have. Now, a phobia is an irrational fear of something. And I mean, if you have a reason for having that fear from this lifetime, then that's where it came from. But if there is no present fear, if there has not been a fear this lifetime, then the only explanation, as far as I'm concerned, is that it's a past life experience. And you know, if you try to dig back, if you try to understand, if you even know it's a past life experience and, you know, that itty-bitty bug is really not going to hurt you. I mean, I got to tell you, I live with cats and I live in the country and I live on the edge I live in wetlands, basically. I live in the wetlands. And so, though my cats don't go outside, they do catch, you know, the field mice that come in. And they will play with the field mice and you know, and then the field mice will give up the ghost and die. And I have no problem picking up with towels, of course, a dead mouse and taking it outside and you know, recycling it into the universe. But if it's alive and moving, I am up on chairs. I am the biggest chicken you ever saw. And And there are moments when I figure I have to save the little critter, but I don't want to get too close to it. And it's hard to save a little critter if you're not getting too close. And you know, I run around with pans upside down or Tupperware upside down trying to trap these mice before the cats get it. And 1 year I just kept track of how many the upstairs cats got and how many the downstairs cats got, and the upstairs cats won because they also got three birds on top of the mice they caught, and I don't know how the birds got in, but they got them. I'm terrified of the mice. I mean, I will end up on a table yelling at the cats, for God's sakes, just kill it and get it over with. And they look at me like, no, look at it, it moves. And, you know, and it scares the daylights out of me. And 3 days after Patrick died, one of my cats, because he loved me, brought me one and dropped it down my neck in my bed when I was sleeping. Let me tell you the dance I did when I got out of bed to get that mouse out of my nightgown. It was just, it was my worst nightmare. And the cat, you know, and he looked at me like, you don't want to play with it? And I just, it was not a fun time. In retrospect, it was hysterical, but no, at the moment it was.
Well, yeah, you laugh now, but at the time, oh, my gosh. Oh, we've got mice around here, and the wee mice, they're bothersome more than anything. I don't like them. I don't like rats. I despise rats. But we had this mouse, and it was caught in a trap. And then what do you do? What do you do? The thing's maimed, right? So I said to my, this is bad. I said to my son, take it outside and kill it. Just do it. And he said, Mom, I can't. What am I going to do? I said, I don't know. I said, I don't know. We have to put it out of its misery.
No. God.
So we decided to put it under the car tire and just run over it real quick, because that would be really humane. Because how else do you do it?
So I don't know.
Okay. We don't know because the trap didn't work. So we ran over it and it didn't work. And we're going, oh my God, the ground was too soft. And and we're both going, like, oh my God, this is out of a Monty Python film. And we're both standing there and I'm going, do it again. And he's going, Mom. No. And you see these dogs looking at us like, what are you doing? And I forget what happened. I really can't remember. But it was probably one of the worst experiences of my life. And I just thought after that, I don't care if you're maimed or not. I'm going to release you. And I don't care. Like, I do not care. You're not in my house. You can go out and be maimed, and a bird or whatever can get you, because that's fair game. You are in my home, and you shouldn't have been. But I can't do this. Like, I'm not a, you know.
Well, when I catch them, I take them outside, and I say, and I let them go, and I say, don't come back in. They will kill you. And I let one loose and it beat me back in the house. And I said, you're on your own. Not going to try to save you. Before we get too morbid, we do have people here that are waiting for readings.
we better do our readings.
We had best read, because that's why they're here. They have their hands in the air and everything. I do want to remind people that we don't take questions, but we will give you what we're getting, and we will, you know, I will give what I'm getting, and then Jen will give what she's getting. And if you have a question about what we've said, you know, please feel free to ask it. So, hi, Kathy. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Absolutely fine. Absolutely fine. I decided rather than killing small animals, we would do readings.
I know. I was like getting squeamish here.
Yeah. No. It's part of living in the country, unfortunately. So, So I'm going to kind of hop in first and kind of give you what I'm getting, and then Jen'll come in and swirl it all up and tie it with a bow. I'm feeling a great deal of pressure around you, as though you're putting yourself mm-hmm. under a little more pressure than you really should. I got to tell you that you're your own worst judge, and you're the one that you know really. It really pushes yourself more than anybody else does. So basically, Spirit is saying, for heaven's sake, let up on yourself here. I'm seeing a waterfall. It feels like that you really need to sort of rinse off the doubt and the uncertainty and things like that have been running around in your head. I'd stand under a cold shower. I really would. It feels like things just attach themselves to you, and it's hard for you to let go of them. And the other thing that would be really good for you over the next couple of weeks especially would be sea salt baths, or Epsom salt baths, just to sort of allow yourself to sort of release some of the things that are stuck to you, and I'm not saying that they're entities. I'm saying they're just concepts and thoughts that you haven't been able to let go of.
Right.
You're coming into a time of great excitement. You're coming into a time when there's a lot of new stuff that's going on here, and I think that you've paid your dues, and I think you may have even overpaid your dues, to be honest with you, within life itself. It's time for you to take back your power. It's time for you to start focusing on what your passions are. It's time for you to start looking at, you know, what do you want to do if you grow up? It's time for you to bring into your life some of the magic and excitement that you've put aside in order to take care of other people. And I'm feeling a lot of cooking going on around you. I don't know if you cook, but I'm feeling, I'm smelling cookies and cakes baking and all sorts of good stuff. And you know, it's all decadent stuff. It's not just like bread. It's you know, sugary frostings and you know, really good desserts. And it just feels like this next decade for you is going to be dessert. You're going to find that the karma from the past is going to be coming back at you, and you're going to be finding that that you actually, you know, have really, really good karma coming into your life. I'm going to pass you over to Jen right now because my phone's dying.
Okay.
Jen, she's all yours.
Hi. How are you, Kathy?
Good. How are you?
Good. What I love for you is that you're standing on the edge of a cliff, it feels like to me. And I want you to let go of the worries or and become free of your guilt or resentment. And that's what I wrote down as soon as I heard your voice. I don't know what kind of guilt or resentment you're carrying, but it feels to me, and what I'm getting is like I'm seeing a volcano that is ready to explode. So I'm not sure what that's all about. But let that go and let that be. Let the lava, let it just, it's one of the visualizations I use for when I want to just really let all the negatives out. I just use a volcano and let all the negative out and let the lava go down, and then I'm all cleared. And that's what I'm showing for you. So I don't know who has really got you tied up in knots at the moment. Don't allow that, because it's not worth it.
My husband and a friend were talking about how I like to keep stuff, like almost like hoarding, and they were giving me a lecture yesterday.
Oh, they were really getting on your nerves. They were really giving you a ride. Wow. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's what I'm, yeah, yeah. It's not true, though, because I don't think they understand why we keep things, why we, it's not hoarding, trust me, and you're not a hoarder. I think these reality shows that come on put a different connotation on what keepsakes and mementos we have throughout our lives. you know, trying to get someone's goat really isn't fair.
Well, you know, I've been doing the cleaning up, but I do it in my own time.
Yeah. And your own fashion and your own way, and it will get there. And once you do start purging, like, it's going to happen. And then they're going to say, well, why did you do that? Why did you do that? Why did you do that? You know what? Do it your way, your own time, your own fashion, and you'll be great. You're great now.
You know, it's like my sister's the only one that understands me. Nobody else does. My husband just bitches at me, you know?
Yeah, no, I totally get it. I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I totally get it. I also wrote down the word syrup. Because I smell.
I'm going to use that with the cakes, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I smell syrup. Like, it's like Aunt Jemima syrup. Like syrup and pancakes.
Well, I do like them.
But it's really... Tasty. I can taste it and smell it around you, and I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think it's a grandmother. It's a grandmother in spirit, actually.
Ah. Hmm.
Is your mother's mother in spirit?
Yes.
Was she the cooker? Cause
oh yes, she was a good cook.
I mean, this is...
Because I've written down buttermilk pancakes, too, but I don't know if that's for you or not. Me and my smells, I had buttermilk... Say the word for me. Buttermilk pancakes cooking up today. I don't know who had them. Don't know who was eating them, because I don't make them, but they sure smelled good.
I think isn't that also a symbol of comfort?
I don't know.
Good food and richness and stuff like that is a symbol for comfort. I just think her grandmother is sending her comfort is what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then say it.
No,
Barbara.
I got it out finally. I had to work my way around to it, but I do think that your grandmother is sending you comfort and basically telling you to be yourself, because you've always been different. So why would you be surprised when somebody accused you of being different?
Right, right.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, it really hurt your feelings.
Oh my God, yes. Mm.
Yeah, that's what I'm being shown is
She told me I needed counseling.
Really?
Mm-hmm. She works for takes care of like abused children, you know, for the county or state. So I guess she's, you know, the counseling comes in with what she does. And
who told you this? This was your husband's?
No, this is a friend, my neighbor's girlfriend.
Oh,
well, tell her
she's really got a vested interest.
Yeah.
Was she trying to get her hands on some of your stuff?
And tell her to mind her own business.
Not really, because she's cleaning out the boyfriend's house because they're going to rent it out next year. So she's been doing some... She doesn't like clutter.
Well, she's not living in your house, so tell her to mind her own business.
I know, but she said, how could you live like this? And then she told Joel, how could you live like this? You know, how could you come home? You must really love her.
You know what?
Oh.
Mm. No, and he says, yes, I do. He says, yes, I do. She's been good to me all these years. And yes, I do.
No, he also said I've been on her ass to get rid of stuff.
Well, you know
what?
I mean, I'm not going to tell you to do this, and I would do it, but it would definitely not be my most spiritual moment at all.
Mm-hmm.
I would clean all of his clothes out and give them to Goodwill and use the room to put away your stuff.
Well, he does do his part of giving away his clothes. He could probably do with the winter. He's been after me to give away all the winter coats I don't wear. So,
no, it's not a bad idea because, you know, there are people out there that need coats.
Oh, yeah, I know that. I know that. And I've done it, and I'll do it again. But it's like every year it has to be, okay, this is going. And then the next year, all right, I can get rid of this.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? You don't need anyone telling you what to do and how to do it in your own home. And I think that's the point. I really
mm-hmm.
think that's the point. If someone else is sticking their nose into your business and they're telling you what you should be like and they aren't walking in your shoes and they don't have the right to do that
mm-hmm.
and it's not their responsibility to do that. With rights come responsibilities. They haven't walked in your shoes or moccasins or flip-flops or high heels. So you know what? Put on a different bathrobe and get the hell out of my bathroom.
Actually, my sister, when I had to move, my sister looked at everything that I had, and she said, well, you're not going to move all of this, are you? And I said, I was thinking about it. She said, well, you should give it away and you shouldn't keep it. And she gave me very much exactly the same talk as you got. And at that moment in time, I took off the shoes I had on my feet and I gave them to her. And she said, what's this for? I said, you wear them for a year and then we'll talk.
And I do know we will move in a few years, so I know that I need to start getting rid of things. But, you know, when you're working and you're gone like 15 hours a day, who has time?
Exactly.
Exactly.
Well, you're
exactly.
not getting any argument here, so.
Well, that's good. I'm glad somebody's on my side because they really ganged up on me last night.
Oh, no. I'd let it roll off your back, but I do think the sea salt baths would help you. And,
okay.
And, you know, in your own time, do it. But, you
right.
know, you know you're going to do it, but in your own time, in your own way.
Right, exactly. Okay.
Okay.
You're
well, thank
cool.
you for calling.
You're cool.
Well, thank
yeah.
you. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
That's just so mean.
That is mean. Especially
I mean,
a neighbor. Like, come on. You need counseling for that? She needs counseling for suggesting counseling.
Yes,
it's like a psychologist told me once. A psychologist who is supposed to be a friend said to me, you're a predator. And I said, you're calling names and you need a psychiatrist.
Oh God!
Oh wow!
I would have said something like, "I really hope you don't try to charge me for that information. It sucks."
I just looked at her. I couldn't believe it. I said she wanted something and I didn't have it. I said I don't have a password. I've lost my password. What are you talking about? And she started calling names and said, "You need a psychiatrist. Because you're a psychologist. You need a psychiatrist." I just started laughing. Just like, wow.
Yeah. Boy, it is amazing how people throw things like that around when they don't have the authority or the intelligence or the wisdom to do it.
Yeah, they just make it difficult for other people. And it's not right. To me, it's just not right because it's hurtful.
Well,
and
also,
that's what they intend to do. They intend to hurt.
Well, and you know, you kind of ask, you know, just where did you get your credentials from? I mean, I will admit when somebody has a problem that is beyond my credentials, and I will say it, you know, I'm not qualified to you know, counsel you in this, but I'll be a cheerleader for you if you get the appropriate counseling. But, you know, people just take on, you know, errors that they don't have a right to take on, like judging somebody else's action. I mean, yes, there are hoarders out there, but not everyone is a hoarder like you see on TV. Give me a break. Those are extreme cases, and I think they have to look high and low and hard to find those cases. And how anybody would want to have that kind of exposure on television. They must pay those people money, because otherwise there's no reason why they would allow people to see how they live and stuff like that. So
they have to.
Well, yeah, no, I think reality shows on some levels, some reality shows are very interesting, but they go to extremes. They really do. And the sad part is the people actually watch them. I mean, Honey Boo Boo, I have no idea what anybody gets out of that show.
I've never watched it.
I did
never,
just have curiosity.
Never watched it. Won't give it the time of day.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. And you know, I The Deadliest Catch, I did watch a little bit at first. Ice Road Truckers, I watched that for a little bit just to see what it was like. You couldn't pay me to turn on Swamp People. You couldn't pay me to watch Duck Dynasty. I mean, you know, there are just some, and these people make money doing this. It really boggles my mind. I mean, why not just follow you around with a camera and the dilemmas that you have in your life? It's fascinating what people put on television, and when there are actually good programming out there that people don't ever watch. You know, the History Channel. I love the History Channel.
Oh, I know, the History Channel is so good.
And the Learning Channel, I mean, and I have to tell you, I have learned more since I was out of school than I ever did when I was in school. My current philosophy is college is a social education, not an academic one. And, you know, you teach yourself what you need to have when the time comes along your lifespan. You don't get it in a classroom. I had two master's degrees, so I had the equivalent of 6 years in college. And I can tell you honestly that I never have used anything that I learned in those 6 years. Not a smidgen. But the stuff I've learned since I was in college is phenomenal, is mind-boggling, is just because I wanted to learn it, you know. I crammed in what they wanted me to be able to feed back to them, and then I forgot it. Not all of it, but I haven't used it. Okay, we've got Pat here. Hi, Pat. How's it going today?
Hi. I'm well. How are you both?
Oh, we're fabulous. We're kind of strange today. It seems like the energy is really, really weird.
Yeah.
But other than that, we're really doing well.
Good.
Our policy is that you know, we're going to give you what we get, and
right.
And then you know, if you know, we need, you want us to elaborate on anything we've said, we certainly will.
Okay.
I see you. You know, it's really interesting. I see you going to places like museums and zoos and ice palaces, and it's as though you're on some sort of, and this is sort of symbolic, so that it's not literally, but I really feel that there's a part of you that is curious and is looking at different concepts, different aspects of life. And I keep seeing zoos and museums, and I have no idea how that relates to what's going on in your life now, because I don't think you live in a zoo, but it's almost as though you are observing life in different forms, in different methods, in different places, that you are taking a look not only at your current lifetime, but on lifetimes past, trying to understand the reason and the reality for this lifetime that you're going through now. I feel that there's a strong desire to know what the soul's purpose is, what the soul's doing this lifetime, why you've gone through some of the challenges you've gone through, and what's the point to it all. And it feels to me as though while you're not going to get any definitive answer, I do feel that there is greater clarity here for you. I do feel that opening up to the wisdom that you carry inside is one way that you can certainly get messages from your higher consciousness that in some ways will kind of lead you in the direction of understanding the evolution of the spirit and your soul at this particular point in time. This has been a challenging lifetime for you. And you've done a magnificent job so far. I don't feel that, the lessons are going to get harder. I feel that the lessons are going to get easier. I think you're over the hump, so to speak. But that, you know, you will continue to be challenged like everybody else as far as learning to deal with other people and learning to move into new genres. I do feel that there are interesting passions that you have inside of yourself. And by passions, I'm not talking of a sexual nature, but I'm talking of a nature of things that you are fascinated by and you want to delve into. And it feels like you haven't really had the time to delve into those passions that you've carried through this lifetime. You have some talents that you haven't actually been able to utilize either. So it feels to me as though as you come into the next decade even, you're going to have the opportunity to sort of experience some of those talents and skills and gifts that you've brought through time. There is a gift with writing. There is a gift, excuse the clock, I didn't take it down. There's a gift with writing. There's a gift with understanding other people. There's a great sense of compassion and wisdom and strength. And there's poetry of spirit here as well. I feel that you have great strength inside of you that you've used in one way the first half of your life, and that the second half of your life, you're going to use that strength in a different way in order to not only help yourself but others seek and find, you know, the point of interest that they want to be focused at during this lifetime. You have a lot of goals here. You came in with a lot of independent goals, and as you've grown, as you've matured, and you're not all the way grown up yet, by the way, but then none of us are, happily, it feels like it's time for play. So over the next year, I feel that you're going to be playing a lot more. You're going to be having fun and discovering things that you're good at and interested in and you want to expand into. So there is a sense of celebration here. I feel also there's a sense of, gosh, I keep seeing eagles here. And they've got to have a symbol of some sort for you. They're a massively intelligent, strong bird, and I would probably say that an eagle is your power animal or your power totem, if you go Native American philosophy here, and it feels as though there's a sense, and it's also a raptor. In other words, it's not something you want to fool with. It's very strong, and if it has to be, it's aggressive, but it doesn't attack without a reason, and I feel that you have that kind of quality inside of you as well, and you hold it in check beautifully. Jen, what are you getting?
Hi. Pat, right?
Yes.
I'm getting a frenetic energy around you right now, and I'm not sure why that is. And it's linking into your love life or a lost friendship. I'm getting that there's water around you. So do you live around or near the water?
I'm near some very toxic water. I'm hoping to move. I need to find a new home, a live-in situation, caretaking. And I sort of have one on my mind where there is a lot of water. You're absolutely right about the energy you're picking up on.
Okay, thank you very much. I also get the name Kevin with you, and I don't know why that name came through, but the name Kevin came through with you.
No.
No? Okay, so just hang on to that name, please. It could be... It doesn't necessarily have to be someone who's gone before. I'm also getting that you are going to be moving and you are going to be living near clean, like a clean beach. I see a clean beach and sand around you, and I'm being shown that you're going to be traveling and that you're going to be receiving mail. There's mail coming. I'm showing a white envelope. Like the check is in the mail, but it's It's snail mail. It's not email. It's a normal letter in the mail. And I'm also being shown someone that rides a motorcycle.
Okay.
Does that mean anything to you?
The motorcycle, no. The mail, I don't think anything would come in the mail, but I was hoping for an investment to come through, and that would be, I would find out about it probably on the internet.
No, you're going to be getting something in the mail, seriously, because I usually don't, I know that for a fact, and I'm going to stand
okay.
by that. And I'm also being shown someone that rides a motorcycle. And, holy, this person comes through with a really strong energy. Very hot energy. They're showing me the front part of the bike, and their hands are wrapped around it. I wish I knew what the part of the bike was. Gosh, doesn't matter. It's like a spool. Things are going to be changing rapidly for you. Get ready for the ride is what I'm going to tell you, okay?
Okay.
Get ready for the ride. Because things are going to change. And that's what I'm going to give you today.
Thank you both very much. May I ask in response to what you had to say?
Yes.
Or maybe I'll explain my situation. I'm really sort of in a crisis. I've been living in an artist-awarded housing, which turned out to be really pretty terrible. And the last couple of weeks, it became horrendous. I called the police on kids, groups of kids that hang out here, and my car was smashed. And it's dangerous at this point. We had a flash mob fight on and on. So I'm back to sort of desperately looking for a caretaking live-in situation because I don't have the money to move out. So that's the energy that you were picking up on. Barbara, you were saying a lot of things that were absolutely true. And I hope, you know, you said the second half of my life. I'm 60. I kind of feel like I've got 20 years left. You're right, I've not had the opportunity to follow my goals at all, mainly because of my financial situation. I'm an artist. I've had tons of interests and strange things, taxidermy, voodoo, religion. And so you're absolutely right about that. And I like what you say, that I'll have a chance to explore these things in the near future and even play. My life's been really, really, really serious. As you say, it was an extremely difficult life, and so much so that someone was going to write about my life, an author, and he decided not to because people would not believe that it was not nonfiction.
That's right, yeah.
And that was when I was very young, and it's just been amazing what I've gone through, and I never really lost faith, only until this past year. I think because for the past 4 years I've been trying so hard to change myself and my thinking and my inner self, and things just gotten worse and worse and worse. And I've lost faith, I think, for the first time in a very, very, very long time. And I'm very aware when I say that I don't mean it 100%, but I certainly have had those thoughts. As to why does it just keep continuing to be such a struggle without the freedom to do what I'd like to do?
Well, you know, sometimes sometimes you have to go to your creative talents and skills to break the cycle. And
yeah.
Quite often those of us who are of a creative nature, you know, when things get really tough, we put the creative stuff aside until things calm down. Well, the reality
right.
is things won't calm down till you get back to the creative.
You're right.
So
You're right.
strongly urge you to take your paints out, take your crayons out, take whatever you want to take out. But get back to the creative, because that's what's going to open the creative channel for the spiritual to flow into your life.
Okay.
And then manifest. And you've shut down all the channels that spirit can move through and manifest within your life. You've shut them all down.
Okay.
So you need to open them up again, whether it's journaling, whether it's painting, whatever. You know, just find a couple of simple, fun things to do, and don't take it seriously and don't make it work. It's supposed to be fun.
I
know the thing that I tell people to do that for me is the simplest is run off some mandalas for coloring on the computer and sit and color them.
Okay.
And it's wonderful therapy. It will, and there's some very intricate, beautiful ones out there, and they can also be inspiration for other things that you might want to do. So color. It's simple, it's creative, you know, sit and color for an hour a night or whatever you can. And you'll find yourself, it becomes a form of meditation, strangely. It helps.
That makes sense.
It helps a lot. And, you know, we're here every Monday.
Okay, I felt so grateful that I was able to get through. What you both said is very helpful and inspiring me. Thank you so much, truly.
Well, thank you for calling. Take care now.
Okay, I'll talk to you again.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
You know, that's something that all of us, well, not all of us, I can't speak for everybody, but I can speak for me. And I know that when things get confusing and upsetting and stuff like that, the last thing I want to do is something creative. And yet, that's the thing that will help to break the cycle. And it doesn't have to be, I know over the winter, I kind of put everything aside. I kind of got into one of those funks. And when I realized that everything was standing still and I realized that I wasn't doing anything creative, somebody came into where I was getting my hair cut and had those fluffy, frilly scarves that everybody knits now. And she was selling them for $20 a piece, and she asked if I wanted to buy one. I said, no, I'd like to see the yarn, and I'd like to see the pattern. And I discovered that it takes one skein of yarn to make a scarf, and it's 6 stitches, and I can do that. And before I knew what was going on, I had made like 40 of them. And, no, it's not fuzzy wool. It's roughly. And the yarn itself is actually about 3 inches wide. And it was my therapy. And I found that, you know, and it's really funny. Somebody said, how long does it take you to actually knit a scarf? And I said, 9 full innings of a Yankee game. And that's exactly what it took. I could do a scarf every time I watched the Yankee game. And I gave them all away, but the reality is it was creative. It was something and things started to move. It was a matter of I was being creative. I was doing something that was of a creative nature, and it doesn't have to be the Mona Lisa or the Sistine Chapel. It can be very simple, but it has to be, you have to have fun doing it. That's the other part of it. You can't make it work. It doesn't work if it's work. Jen, how do you do, you know, when you come to a standstill, what is it you do that kind of breaks the log jam?
I write. I sit down and I just start writing or pottering. I try and paint. I'm not a very good painter. I get paint all over myself. I've tried to learn the guitar. I've got this gimped up finger. I try to I nearly took my finger off one time, so my finger is still healing. And
okay.
I know, it's so funny because I've wanted to learn the guitar for years and years, and my husband finally bought me this guitar, and I was so incredibly touched by it. this finger of mine is probably one of the best therapies for it, but always unplug a drill before you try and take something off of it, is all I can say. Don't get your hands caught inside the extension cord and the drill itself. It's not fun.
No, definitely not creative.
Therein is the lesson. But so, and I walk. I think walking and meditating is one of the best therapies we have. Getting outside
Absolutely.
Of ourselves.
And again, the creative stuff doesn't have to be, it doesn't cost money. It's just time.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It's, a couple of my friends love cleaning. They adore cleaning.
Oh.
If that's what works, that's what works. Go for it. You know,
absolutely.
You want to dust. You know, you want to vacuum, go for it. It's whatever makes the person happy. And
exactly.
I
know people that love to do laundry, and, that's their, they just love it. They love to fold, they love to, it's different strokes for different folks. We've got Tina here, who's been waiting a long time. Hi, Tina, how are you doing today? Hello, Tina. Whoops. Hello, Tina. Hi.
Yes.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Do you have your computer on or something? Because I hear me talking.
Oh, okay. No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't have my computer on. Can you?
Okay. Okay. So
can you hear
me
now?
Yep, I can hear you. I'm going to give you what I'm getting, and then Jen will give you what she's getting.
Okay.
I'm seeing a really long road ahead. It feels as though there are side roads, there are service roads, there are all sorts of... I'm still getting an echo. Are you there? Tina?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. I'm going to put you on, I'm just going to mute you so that I don't talk over myself, and then I'll open the mic and Jen can decide how she wants to do this, okay?
Okay.
So you've got these roads ahead of you, these huge main highways, and it feels like there are, service roads and little roads along the side, but you're plowing down this highway, and you know exactly where you're going, and it's amazing, and there are billboards along the side, and there are all sorts of ads for visit this attraction, visit that attraction, and you keep going straight ahead, and you keep ignoring everything else that's on the road. You just keep going straight ahead, and Spirit wants me to suggest to you that it's really important that you stop and smell the roses. It's really important that you take the time to take some of the side roads. It's really important in life to not be so focused on the destination that you don't see all of the wonderful, magical, wonderful things that are on the pathway along the way as you go. It feels like you are very, very determined to go in a certain direction. I feel that Spirit is suggesting that perhaps there is an alternate route or another avenue that you can explore that would bring great richness into your life. You have a wonderful determination to finish and complete things once you start them, and that's a wonderful quality. But sometimes you kind of exclude everything else from your life in order to finish the task at hand. Sometimes it's good to take a break. Sometimes it's good to take a vacation. Sometimes it's good to just put something aside and regenerate yourself so that you have new energy to put towards it. I'm feeling also that that there is it feels like there's a shift, a change. I almost want to put you on an elevator or of sorts that kind of takes you to a new level of understanding and a new level of expression. My feeling is you're at a time of change, you're at a time of growth, you're at a time in which
things are going to really start happening a lot faster in your life than they have in the past. And because of that, you know, you need to sort of be able to juggle a little bit. And you're used to doing one thing at a time, and it feels to me you're going to have to be able to multitask to a far greater extent than you have in the last couple of years. There's also a lot of healing energy around you, and it feels as though there is the element of healing that is going on with you on an emotional level. It feels that you may have been through some sort of a trauma or a disappointment over the last 6 or 7 months, and that you're working your way through things, understanding things, and getting ready to kind of get back on the bicycle, so to speak, so that it feels as though you're making ready to sort of get on with life in a new way, in a different way, in a more exciting way. I'm seeing you dancing as well. I'm seeing you actually doing line dancing. So I'm not sure if that's something that you're into or not, but I see line dancing. I see you finding a new rhythm in your life. I see you knowing the steps and every now and then be missing a beat, but I'm seeing you knowing all the steps to the dance that you're about to do. And it does feel that there are relationship things that are coming up for you over the next year that are going to be very exciting. A relationship is a part of your life that is expanding and moving in new directions. So you're learning a lot about yourself, and you're learning a lot about the people that are in your life. It feels as though there are new people coming in, and there'll be new challenges, but they'll be really cool challenges. They'll be fun challenges. These don't feel like they're challenges that in any way, shape, or form will be uncomfortable for you. You're growing up in a lot of new and different ways, and it's a very exciting time for you. But you know, please understand that sometimes when we grow up, when we change, when our philosophy and other aspects of our life expand greatly, that sometimes people drift away. And if that happens, don't feel bad about it, because when people drift away, it's usually only for a time, and then they come back. So that don't make issues, and don't confront people if they haven't been as attentive as they used to be. Understand that everybody's going in different directions. But at some point in time, you know, it'll all come back and fit together nicely, so long as you don't challenge people and confront them and make them uncomfortable. Jen, do you want me to leave her muted, or do you want to just take it from there?
You can unmute it if you like. We can try, or
okay.
See what...
Okay.
Gina,
okay,
has
Tina.
To respond to you.
I can hear you. Fine.
Okay. You just
want to respond
Jen
to Barb at all?
Pardon me?
No, Jen, you just go ahead, and then she can just respond to both of us.
Okay, so maybe I can hear myself also, so that's really...
Okay, I'm going to mute you again, Tina. Hold on.
Thank you.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, Tina, hi. How are you today? I'm getting birds and laughter around you right away, and also bright, sunny fields, and a lot of different energies again. What I'm showing for you is the hands folded like in doing namaste pose in yoga, and showing that you do yoga or yoga type exercises, and I'm giving you showing for you and giving for you a river, change is coming in like the flow of a river, and I'm also given the stone malachite, and it's a green stone, and it carries the frequency of an enlightened leader. For me, it's a cleansing stone. It helps cleanse. I don't know what it does for other people, but it's for those to help change and getting rid of. It's a beautiful, beautiful green, rich stone, and I simply adore this stone. It's for It comes here to remind us that we're here to co-create with the universe and that fate is an illusion. It helps one to recognize and utilize one's power in a constructive and creative manner, and it can be used as a grounding tool. And an affirmation for the malachite is I align my personal will with my understanding of divine will, and I move forward with clarity and confidence. And I also want to remind you that, hard to say, you're taking to heart what other people say about you or to you. Don't be so concerned with what others say. Really, really please believe in yourself. I get the sense that others are perhaps being less than kind to you at this time. You're a very beautiful, honorable person. I'm being shown a couple of people that really aren't speaking kindly about you. Never mind what they say. You're doing fine, and you will be coming out on top in this. Does that make sense?
Hold on,
Barbara.
I'll find out. Hi, Tina.
Yeah.
Hi, Tina.
Yeah.
Hi. Does that make sense?
I don't know. I don't really know anybody who is talking about me, but you know, people talk.
Well, that's what I was showing, so I'm just giving you what I'm getting.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay, Tina, well, thank you for calling.
Oh, and thank you for the reading, both of you. Have a good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
I wonder what causes that. I bet Chris would know. We'll have to call her on Skype when we get done, because that echo is really... I'm pretty sure it's a very easy thing to change or fix. I just don't know how to do it.
It's really hard. Yeah.
It's funny because when someone is talking at the same time as you are, you kind of want to stop and let them and let them say what they're going to say. But when you're talking over yourself and you stop to hear what you have to say, then you stop too. So you know, it's very disconcerting. Okay,
I know.
We've got Sandra here. Hi, Sandra.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Oh, well, thank you for calling in.
Yes.
Okay, Jenna and I are going to give you what we're getting. I'm seeing you at a racetrack, and I'm seeing you running around and around and around and around in circles, and it feels as though, there's an old fairy tale about how two tigers ran around and around and around and around a tree and they made butter. And that's what I'm feeling with you. You're going around and around and around and around in circles, and not that you're going to make butter, but that you're running, you're wearing the soles of your shoes out by going around in circles. And it's the spirit wants to tell you that it's time to really kind of stop going around in circles and start finding a pathway to follow instead of just kind of constantly going around in circles. And you're chasing yourself, and that there's a new pathway opening up for you. And when you see the pathway, to take it, to move in a new direction, to stop repeating patterns from the past. And that's what around and around in circles kind of means to me. It suggests that you are repeating patterns from the past over and over again instead of just, you know, going on and making new mistakes. You're making the same old ones over and over again. And I'm not sending you on to make mistakes. It's those challenges that come our way when we try new things, and those are learning experiences, which are very important for us and to us. There's a sense here that you're trying to hold your place in time. You're trying to make time stand still so that nothing changes, and that you don't have to move in new directions or experience new things. And while I find that your spirit, your soul, is a very adventurous one, and as a matter of fact, in past lifetimes, you've had you've had several lifetimes where you were one who was an explorer, one who was an adventurer, one who, you know, just would take risks just for the sheer joy of the adrenaline rush. So that on a very deep level, that there's a part of you that is absolutely somebody who would you know, break out and just do something new just for the sheer joy of it. But there's a part of you that is kind of holding back on things like that. And it does feel as you come into this next year, especially after the first of the year, that you're going to be a lot more spontaneous. You're going to be a lot more eager to try new things and to experience new aspects of life. And I do feel that you're going to, there is an amazing sense of adventure here. You're going to have the opportunity to do a number of things that you never dreamed that you would be exposed to or actually do. And none of them are life-threatening. I'm not seeing you bungee jumping or free-falling from an airplane or anything like that. Although if you wanted to do it, I'd be just fine with it, because I think there's a part of you that would just enjoy the adrenaline rush. There's something about an adrenaline rush in you that is, you know, really, really profound. And you know, it's a rush of excitement, and then it's also that adrenaline rush we get when we have an anxiety attack too. So, you know, I think in some cases you're going to have to determine whether you're having an anxiety attack or just thrilled with something you're doing. And at one point you're going to come to the conclusion it really doesn't matter that you know, you can handle the adrenaline. It is pretty exciting. You have adventure ahead of you on many different levels in many different directions. You have adventure ahead of you in your personal life as far as relationships and the people that you're around, and you have adventure ahead of you in romantic relationships as well. It feels as though there is new territory to be conquered and new people are coming into your life. And if you are in a relationship now, I do feel that the aspect of adventure and communication is opening up tremendously, even more than it has been in the past. I'm not saying, you know, that it's been bad. I'm just saying it's going to get much, much better. I have a feeling here that you're about to take off. You're about to take flight. You've been going through instrument checks for a very, very long time, and it's really time that you took flight, and I do believe you're going to. I believe you're going to let yourself come out of the shadows. I believe you're going to let yourself actually be in the spotlight, which you should be in. And you're going to stop letting people think you aren't as smart as you are, because you're an extraordinarily intelligent young lady, and you actually haven't been letting people see how intelligent you are because it was easier to sort of stay in the background. I think one thing that is really important is you start wearing brighter colors, because it feels like, you know, the colors you're wearing are pretty subdued, and it's really important you wear some bright colors to make statements of fact and let people know that you are there and you are there to be reckoned with, and you deserve to have the attention that you're going to be getting. Again, there is also the aspect of letting yourself be the person that you actually are. Please don't hold back, because there's so much love and joy and laughter and light around you and within you. It's just a matter of letting it out and owning the unusual aspects of you, and you are unusual and unique, and you should embrace that and take great joy in it, because it makes you a rather spectacular person to know. Jen, what are you getting?
Hi, how are you, Sandra?
I'm well, thank you.
Oh, good, good. What I'm getting is that just Barbara's giving you such a clear and defined reading. I've got a few things here, and really sporadic, but I'm getting tent awnings and pastries, cream horns specifically. I don't know if you know what cream horns are.
No, I'm not much of a pastry person either.
It's like a phyllo pastry that's baked and it's filled with whipped cream. I have no idea why, but I'm showing that for you. And I'm also getting boardwalks. Boardwalks to me would be something along the beach.
That makes a lot of sense.
Does it?
Mm-hmm.
Good. because I was showing these boardwalks, and I we don't have them where I live, but I was showing boardwalks, and I'm hoping that that you could relate to that. I'm also showing that you're going to be dancing, and you're going to be dipping your feet into new waters. You've got these new shoes on, and you've got these fancy, beautiful sandals, actually. I really like shoes. But these beautiful sandals, elegant feet. And you're going to be dancing. And you're going to be traveling down some new paths, perhaps, or traveling. And it's going to be most exciting for you. And that's coming up for you. And there's music around you, obviously, if you're going to be dancing. But there's music around you. And there's parties, like I'm getting a sense of musical chairs. You're going to be moving around a bit. What are they called? Cruises, a cruise. I don't know if that means anything, or
I
don't even know
that. But I mean, that doesn't mean I won't be doing something like that soon.
I know. I mean, we don't know where life's going to take us, and I don't even know where this cruise comes from. Who knows? But I'm also getting a pain in my right breast and a pain in my head. So someone has come through, and they were a smoker, and they died of emphysema.
Oh.
So I'm wondering if they belong to you or if they've just walked in.
I think they just walked in.
Okay, because I've had a few walk-ins lately.
No one that you know. Yeah, no.
Okay.
I mean, the
so
right breast and head thing could make sense, but not a smoker.
How old
not
is this
a smoker.
Person?
What?
How old is the person, Jen?
About 70, 72.
A male or a female? Good question.
The smoker. Oh, shoot. Okay, never mind. I've got the smoker and the emphysema and the name. Oh, for heaven's sakes. Her name is Anne, and it's for me, and I'm really embarrassed. But I'm not, because this is the first time she's connected with me like this, so thank you very much, Sandra and Barb.
The right breast
and the pain in the head, and that is just the weirdest thing. Talk about a kick in the pants. When you ask people to connect and you don't pay attention, I guess this is how they do it. Eh, Barb?
Wow.
And that's a lesson for me, and
there
a lesson
go.
For all of us.
Well, I'm glad I could bring her through for you.
Well, thank you. But the pain
first,
in the right...
My first mediumship reading for you.
Yeah. The pain in the right breast and the pain in the head is very close to you, though.
To me.
And
okay. I think I know who that is. I believe that's my aunt, my mother's sister. She did have her right breast removed.
Okay.
And when she passed, it was her passing was quick, and it had to do with her head.
Okay,
she had a fall.
I've written that down. Pardon me?
She had a fall.
Oh, okay. What I've written is deaf blind, like Helen Keller. And I don't know why that mixes with the pain in the head, but that's what she's showing me. And
it was definitely traumatic and quick. You know, she passed from her fall. She didn't linger on.
Yeah, she felt, what I'm getting from it is that she felt very, almost like she couldn't relate. She couldn't. Well, like Helen Keller, right? She was off balance.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah,
someone,
I always kind of wondered. It happened at my home, believe it or not. It was kind of a very freak accident. She had been visiting for the week, and we were doing repairs on our pool, and it was a gunite pool, and she wound up falling into it and passing the week she was visiting us.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and
no,
2 days before that, she had seen my cousin who had passed a few years before that. She had had a visit with her in our backyard, and she was very, you know, shaken up about it. And we were kind of like just trying to comfort her and say, look, you know, it's okay. It's someone coming to visit you that's, you know, our family. And I always kind of wondered about that afterwards, if that had something to do with, you know, my cousin coming to, I guess, be around her maybe. I don't know. I never really asked about that or spoke about that, actually.
Well, what I'm showing is that she had the pain in the head, and it almost made her, it made it very complicated. That's the only word I can use, very complicated, confusion for her.
Okay.
She felt, when she was, she felt very off balance. And the phrase I'm getting over and over again is Helen Keller. She felt like Helen Keller. Have you ever watched the movie, Patty Duke did it.
Was it a Helen Keller movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually did watch one
Miracle
of them.
Miracle Worker.
Yeah, it was a very long
Miracle
time
Worker.
Ago, but
I
remember watching it, yes.
And she was stumbling around with her hands out, trying to find her way. And that is what, I'm covered in goosebumps now. That is what your aunt felt like. She was trying to find her way.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure I'm certain she's, you know, in a good place now.
Oh, she's absolutely in a good place now. Absolutely, no question about it. But at that time of her life, she was confused.
Yeah.
She just, you know, it was just a very confusing time for her. And you know what? Right now, she's way better off. I really believe. I know that without a doubt. Absolutely know that.
Yeah. I do too.
Without a doubt that, you know, we are, it is so much greater. It's greater. It's a greater place.
Well, I've always had the comfort to know that my cousin was probably with her. You know what I mean? That's at
mm-hmm.
least what I kind of sensed or felt. So that always comforted me to know that at least, you know, she would have gotten to where she needed to, like going to the light quickly and not, you know, being stuck here, basically. Cause when you die, like, it was kind of interesting, too, because my cousin died almost similarly, you know, also a traumatic fall to the head. So I kind of, it just really was very interesting to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm getting the initial E, and I don't know if that means anything to you. I've just written the initial E down.
No.
Just keep it because that'll be a validation of some kind for you.
Okay.
Middle initial, E. And I'm going to say Miriam. Miriam, I don't know. I'm getting Miriam.
It would
Miriam.
Be really kind of hard for you to get the name because she wasn't born here, but her name was Maritza, which is pretty close to how you're probably, you know, trying to say it. You know what I mean? But I would be shocked if you can get a Croatian name like that.
Well, I couldn't get a Croatian name. I'm not that good.
Yeah, but you did pretty good. Miriam, Maritza, could be, you know, could be close.
Well, there you go. So, but no, I thank her for coming through and for bringing, actually, I really thank her for bringing my friend Anne through. my heart to yours and my heart especially to hers, because that was, boy, I just got a kick in the pants.
Yeah. No, well, I'm glad. I mean, she was a great aunt to me and very kind, very loving. So thank you for that.
Yes,
I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Sandra, for calling.
Thank you, Barb,
yes,
for your message also. I appreciate it, and it definitely resonates. I definitely feel like I'm on a new path, and, you know, like the testing gear has been checked a billion times, and I'm ready to fly. So I'm excited about that, to see that you kind of picked up a lot on the future and what I'll be going through, because I'm excited to just do new things.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Go bungee jumping.
No,
I definitely won't do the bungee jumping because I'd be too scared. But
you know what I could see you doing, though? I could see you doing the zip lining.
I could definitely see myself doing zip lining. Bungee jumping, I think, is a little too much for me.
Yeah, me too. I just don't want to embarrass myself in front of other people.
But zip lining, I would love to do that.
Yeah, I would look for it and give it a shot.
Yes, thank you so much. God bless you both.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
You ever done zip lining?
No, it's actually just down the way from us. My nieces did it, I think, Saturday. I've got a bunch of nieces, and one of them turns 30 tomorrow, actually. So happy birthday, Brie. Not that she's listening, but they went zip lining on the weekend. And
that's on my bucket list.
Well, I don't know. I'm petrified of heights. I do want to go skydiving, and I will do that at some time. But zip lining, I don't know. I probably.
But you're
going to
jump out of an airplane?
I would, because that would be like flying, and that would be okay. Flying and floating are about the same thing. But zip lining, I don't know. I'd probably.
All right. We'll
see
which
in the pants again.
we'll see which one of us gets to doing our flight thing first. We've got a mystery person here. Hi, 262-395. You're on the air. Hello.
Oh, hi. It's Jacqueline.
Hi, Jacqueline. How
Hello.
Are you doing today?
I'm good.
Okay, so I'm going to give you what I get, and no, I'm going to let Jen go first this time. Jen, you start off, and then I'll sweep up after you.
Okay, let's do it that way. Jacqueline.
Yes.
I'm getting, you there?
Yep.
I'm getting someone who's passed for you, actually. So I'm getting someone who's passed, who had a hard time seeing at the end of their life, and who had a head, either a stroke or head injury again.
Okay.
And be on your mother's side. Wow.
And first, I'm thinking about it's on my father's side.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe not. Maybe it could be my mother's side as well.
I'm being told your mother's side, but if you want to be your father's side, hang on. And they went out with a splash, is what I'm told to tell you. And I don't know why I'm being shown a splash of color. They obviously liked colors.
Okay.
I don't want to. There was blood involved. Wow. And I don't know what they mean by blood involved. And no, it wasn't a murder. Isn't that funny? They had a blood transfusion.
Okay.
Or, what are you saying to me? I've got two people here now. Okay, I'm going to park them. You're going to be going on a trip soon.
Okay.
Changing it right up. I'm just going to park these people because the one on your mother's side is really adamant that she is
okay.
coming through. But she's going to have to wait. You're going to be going on a trip soon, and you're going to be sharing the trip with a partner. Are you married?
Yes.
Yeah. So you and your partner are going to be taking a trip or a vacation, and it will be enjoyable. I'd say in the next 6 months, and I'm not good with dates, although Barb is, you're going to be coming into some money because I see coins being thrown at you. And I don't know what succotash means to you.
Hmm.
I don't even know what succotash is, but I'm getting the word succotash.
Okay.
For
succotash
you.
is a combination of corn, peas, and beans.
Is it really? Oh. Is it like a stew?
No, it's just all of them mushed together. Not mushed, but cooked together.
I'm told to give you succotash.
A vegetable medley.
A vegetable medley. Okay. And the woman who died did a lot of canning. And she would be either a grandmother or a great-grandmother.
Okay.
She is not your aunt. Wow. And she is very particular. Particular. Whew. She lived on a farm.
Okay.
And she did all her own processing. And I'm sorry this is really sporadic, but she's not leaving. She won't be parked. She comes to visit you an awful lot, Jacqueline.
Uh-huh.
Do you realize that?
No.
She comes around your house, and she comes through... like a breeze, but some of us feel cold breezes in our houses, our homes,
mm-hmm.
and we don't know whether it's just a draft in the house. She comes through like a draft,
okay.
and it's her. So you don't have a drafty house. This would be her coming through it. I am seeing... like a tall window in your house, and like flower drapes or curtains, not really drapes, but curtains. And I'm being told a window to the south is where she would be. And
I don't have any windows to the south or curtains. I don't know. I'll keep thinking about that, though. Maybe at my mother's house or something. I don't know.
Who's got the hardwood floors?
My old house that I moved out of had, like, a laminate floors that looked like wood in the kitchen. And the kitchen had a window facing to the south, but we moved away from there. But
that's
maybe that's
where
what
she's showing me. That's what she's showing
okay.
me. No,
okay.
seriously, that's what she's showing me.
Yeah.
I don't know why. She liked that place. And she's wearing an apron. Wow. And I can't, I'm getting the name Belle, but I don't think that's her name.
You said Val?
Belle. Belle or Val? What is it?
I think, well, I have a niece named Valerie, and I think her middle name is Lucille, which is what my grandmother's name is. But I don't know. But my grandmother's name on my mother's side was Lucille.
I'm getting E-L-L-E.
Oh,
E-L-L-E-L-L-L.
I have a niece named L, but not anybody that's passed.
I'm still getting this succotash. I don't know why.
Depth says,
and I'm getting
lima beans.
Lima beans? Ugh.
And corn.
I
obviously not something
beans.
That you're going to eat.
No, I hated lima beans as a kid. They're very good for you, though. And this probably isn't why you phoned in, even. It's what you're being given. And I'm being shown a church with a steeple in the very front of it.
Okay.
An old church. Is that around you now, or is this...
No, I don't have a church with a steeple around me now.
It would
but
be
where
a,
I grew
not
up
a...
The house I grew up in, I grew up next door to my grandmother, and there's a church down the street. It's not really old, though.
Does it have
and
a it small
like,
steeple at the front? Not a huge one. Or a bell tower,
a
whatever
tower.
You call it?
Yeah, there might be
Pardon?
A little bit of a tower. There might be a little bit of a tower at the front of that church, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's what she's showing me. Wow.
Well, it's a
She's
potpourri of information.
Pardon?
Said it's a potpourri of information.
I know. She couldn't wait to come through, and she's just not going away. Barb, I'll let you take over. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I have it seems a little weird actually. I see you as a lion tamer, and I know you don't do that professionally. I mean, I understand that it's symbolic of something in your life. I see you working with animals that are powerful animals that could swallow you whole, and yet you have control over them. I'm seeing you with bears and with lions and with tigers. And what I find fascinating is you have no problem with these horrendously powerful animals that could absolutely, you know, really hurt you bad. And yet I see you going into cages with them and having them do tricks and things like that, and yet when you come out of the cages, you see a mouse and you freak out like crazy. And it feels to me as though in your life, you know, it's the major issues that you deal with the best, and it's the minor issues that freak you out and
mm-hmm.
send you into tailspins. You know, give you an amazingly horrific crisis, and you are fabulous. Give you something that is not as horrendous, and you just absolutely dissolve. So that your greatest strength is with the greatest problems, which is a really kind of cool thing. I see you mountain climbing. It feels as though you are working very hard to get to a certain point in time in life, and I want to tell you that you know, every time that you take a step on a mountain, you know, the mountain does grow. So that your point is climbing the mountain, not achieving the peak. So don't get frustrated when you find there are always new things you have to conquer along the way, that you don't reach, you know, the summit, plant a flag and say, I have arrived. You basically are always going to be reaching for something that is a little bit out of reach, but that's the important part, because the point of our whole lifetime is the journey, not achieving something, because once you achieve something, then you have to start back at square one on another journey. So you might as well enjoy the journey you're on. I feel strongly that you are at a point in time where you're about to start moving in new directions, that there is the element of breaking out of the molds that other people have created for you and moving into a time where you are becoming the person you knew you were meant to be. You just hadn't had time to do it. And it feels as though the next year or two is going to be very free of the major difficulties. So your great strength is not going to be able to be applied to anything major, and you're going to be forced to sort of learn how to take the tools and skills you utilized with the major issues and apply them to the minor issues. This is going to be a couple years here of learning how to deal with the minor catastrophes and finding that they are really not as overwhelming as you thought once that they were. It feels as though you have created an amazing sanctuary around you and within you. You've come a great distance in your spiritual evolution and working with your spiritual tools. You're an amazing and an amazingly insightful person. You don't always pay attention to it, but you have a great gift and a great talent there. And if you ever did listen to the wisdom and the intuition that you have inside of you, you'd find that it greatly enriches the abundance that is in your reality and in your life. I feel that you're letting go of a lot of the barriers that you have created between you and other people. You're letting down your walls. You're letting other people in. While it may be a little frightening at first, it feels like it's going to be a very exciting time for you over the next 6 months. I think you have some real magic that's going to be coming up here, and I think it's going to be very, very exciting for you. Okay?
Yes, thank you.
You're very, very welcome. And thanks so much for calling and waiting for so long.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Bye-bye now. Jen, thank you very much for being here.
thank you, Barb,
for bringing Jen in. it's been a really weird day, but I you know, people in the chat room weren't able to get in. They weren't able to get the sound. I wasn't able to get in, and you weren't able to get in. So that we actually made it.
Strange.
Yeah. I think there's some weird, strange energy going on out there. But thank you so much for being here and sharing the time with me and sharing your gifts and your talents. And Chris had no sound either. So she said she's going to catch the archive. Okay. It's BTR. But thank you so much, everybody, for being here. And again, thank you, Deb, for being my faithful companion, Tonto, throughout all of this. and Jen, you're going to be back in 2 weeks, I believe, right?
I believe so. It's always great with you, Barb. And I have to ask you, while we have a minute, mm-hmm. why I would get Anne to come through like that, and I've never, in all the years, this wonderful woman that meant so much to me in my life, never been able to connect with her. Why that way?
Because I think that you wanted to hear from her so much that you created a blockage, and that the only way that she could get to you was through somebody else.
That's just unbelievable to me. Like, I just, it's just one of those big wow moments.
It's kind of like you wanted to hear from her so badly that your desire prevented it from happening, and the only way she could actually get through was to come through another person and then have you recognize that it was her. Make sense?
Yes, it does make sense. And so there she was today, you know, piggybacking or whatever we want to call it.
Yeah, and besides that, you know, you are just so intense when it comes to this that you really actually were looking for her for a long time, you know. Not that you were, you know, summoning her or anything like that, but you were looking for her. And sometimes, you know, when we want something badly and we're looking hard for it, sometimes that's exactly what prevents us from getting it. So, you know, it's kind of like when you stop the struggle and let things flow easily, it comes more easily.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I have been looking for her for a very long time. You know, and I know her husband has been around because they were like mom and dad to me. And, you know, he'd walk into the bedroom and take care of my husband and check on him when he had really bad sleep apnea. And but I always wondered where she was. Right in front of me, but I couldn't see her for looking.
Yep. Well, I mean, she did turn up. Did she have a message, or did you just identify her?
I identified her, and I'll talk to her later, I guess. She will make it apparent. She just, she's around. So, but it's
definitely
funny, though.
That's so cool.
Someone else can give me the message. I won't be able to do it. I'll be too verklempt. I'll be just in tears bawling. It'll be one of those kumbaya moments that cripples we're not allowed to have.
Oh, jeez. Well, yeah, just don't let it be on Chris's show. But thank you again, and I will be talking to you soon.
Okay, thank you so much, Barbara, and thank you, Deb.
And yes, thank you, Deb, and thank you everybody for being here and struggling as hard as all of you did to at least be present. And we do thank you and look forward to, if you're in the Spiritual Development Circle, see you Thursday or Friday and then again next week. So take it easy. I think next week is Grant Collier. He's coming back again. Yay. So I will talk to all of you shortly soon, and thank you for coming. Bye-bye now.